This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Good morning, everybody. Well, almost the end of the year. I can't believe that, actually. Almost the end. And all year, I've been talking about one thing. Love. And I'm going to do that again today. And I want to say, I was asking the Lord, how do I wrap that up? He said to me, you don't. It's never ending. It's never ending. It just wasn't for this year. It's like this is just the beginning. So I'm not going to try and wrap it up and bring it to an end, but I did ask the Lord, well, how do you want me to finish this year, like with what you want me to say about love? And he gave me one word, and that word was intimacy. So that's what I want to share with you this morning, about intimacy. And about intimacy with our God. Over the last year, you know, we've talked about lots of things. We've talked about the way that God loves us. We've talked about the way we're to love God, the way we're to love others. We've looked at what we shouldn't love. We've looked at forgiveness and obedience. And we've looked at holy living because of God's love for us. But today, I really feel the Lord, all of those things are so important, but he wants to talk to you one-on-one today, and he wants to talk to you about intimacy. There's one verse that over the last maybe 4 or 5 weeks or so has really struck a chord in my heart, and it's from Psalm 27, and it's verse 8, and this is from the New Living, and it says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. And I can't help it. I knew I would get emotional about that because I just hear the voice in my heart of the one who loves me, the one who knows me best, saying, come, I want to talk to you. I want to spend some time with you. I want to share things with you. And my heart hasn't always responded straight away, yes, Lord, I'm coming, to be honest with you. One thing that's been spoken over my life this year is that it's time for me to, it's come in lots of different ways, but it's time for me to let those walls come down where maybe you've seen it, you know, for a long time, but we try and construct things around ourselves to protect ourselves, don't we? And we try and give this image, I think for ourselves, first of all, that we're okay. Everything's okay. Sometimes things are not okay. And that's okay to say that, because the one who loves us best, better than anyone else, the one who knows you best, better than you know yourself, is saying, come and talk with me. I want to tell you things. I want to love on you. The one thing the Lord said to me right at the beginning of the year, he didn't tell me to do anything. He told me to sit in my quiet place that I have and just let him pour his love on me. And I got to about October, November this year. That was in January. January 1, he said that to me. I got to about October and November and realised I hadn't done that so well. I had done a lot of things, but I hadn't been so good at the just sitting and letting him love on me. And I want my heart to respond, Lord, I'm coming. I want your heart this morning. I want you. My aim this morning is to encourage you and to invite you and to make you hungry and desire intimacy with the Lord. That you would hear him say to your heart this morning, come, I want to talk to you. And that you would respond, Lord, I'm coming. All of the things that we've talked about love this year, as I said, they're all important. But without the depth of relationship that the Lord wants to have with us, without a depth of relationship, none of those things are going to be possible. Intimacy with God. John 17:3 says, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only God, and Jesus Christ, the one who you sent, the one you sent to earth to know you. That word know, that Greek word, speaks of more than just an intellectual knowledge. It speaks about knowing ultimately everything. And actually in the Greek it is speaks as like a husband and a wife would know each other intimately. It's not just a knowledge of God. Do you know him? I was listening actually this week to Tim's message a couple of weeks ago when he got up and he said, you know, I was so pleased to hear that he likes Vegemite on his bread. Too much butter. No, he doesn't like it. Didn't you? Oh, Lee doesn't. That's okay, but Tim does. I love Vegemite. You know, I didn't know that about Tim. Do you know Jesus or do you know about him? Do you know what someone else has told you about him? Even what the, do you know what Paul or Timothy or James or anyone else has said about him, but do you know him? When was the last time you talked to him face to face, intimately? Jesus prayed for us. This is what he prayed. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's you, church. Jesus was praying for us. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. This is the kind of relationship that God desires, that we would be so close to him that we become one with him. That there would be no separation, that the world wouldn't be able to say, well, there's Karen and there was Jesus, but that we would be one. This was the prayer that Jesus prayed. Not that our self would be improved. If you're trying to improve yourself to be more like Jesus, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Jesus' prayer was that our self would be crucified and we would be found in him. You know, we think of Jesus in many different ways. There's many different names that we have for Jesus. We know him as Lord. We think of him as Lord. We know him as brother. In the Bible, it talks about Jesus being like our brother. He's the first fruits. We know him as a friend. And that's a good thing. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's true. All our sins and griefs to bear. But he is so much more than a friend. He is so much more than just a good friend. I think sometimes we leave Jesus in the good friend category. He's a good friend. He's there when I need him. He is so much more than just a friend. I don't know that we've done ourselves any favours by limiting him to friendship status. He is your friend, but he's so much more than just your friend. He loves you passionately, absolutely. Have you ever watched... It's really hard to watch, actually. You know, you may have seen it on TV or on YouTube when someone decides they're going to propose marriage and they do it on the most grandest scale they can possibly find, like at the footy. You know, when you see them up on the big screen and someone in the break, you know, gets down on one knee and proposes. Or they, you know what I'm talking about? These, especially with YouTube now, they create the most elaborate scenes and they put it out there, and then it comes to that moment where he gets down on one knee and pops the question and everybody's waiting. You have to look the other way. I have to look the other way. Do you know that God has put his feelings out there for you in exactly that same way? He has put his feelings on the line for you. His love, not just his love and his passion for you. He has put it out there, plastered out across the whole universe for everybody to see. And he's called you to himself to be his bride. What's your response been? What's my response been? Even before Jesus died on the cross for us, the Father was declaring his love for his people and calling them to himself. The Old Testament is full of examples where God declares his love for his people and his desire for them to worship him alone, to desire him alone. The Old Testament is just full, jam-packed full of examples of that. God is always calling. God is always wooing. He is always desiring. He's always going and saying, come to me. Hosea chapter 6 is an amazing example of where the people of Israel had gone away and God is calling them back. This chapter, I'll just read from one of the commentaries about it. This chapter gives an account of some who were truly penitent when God called them, and stirred up one another to return to the Lord, encouraged by his power, grace, and goodness, and of others who had only a form of religion. They were very unstable in it, and they regarded ceremonial law and the external sacrifices of it more than the moral law. And Adam touched on it and spoke on it so well in communion this morning. Hosea 6:6 says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. The word doesn't get any clearer than that. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want a burnt offering. That's Hosea 6:6. Can you hear the heart of God? We try and bring him our things, our actions, our deeds, our efforts. We bring him whatever that sacrifice is for you. We bring our sacrifice, and all he's saying is, I want you. I want you. And I want you to know me. That the King of Glory, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, hail to the King. We pray, how great is our God. And he wants to know you intimately and for you to know him. So how do we develop this intimate kind of relationship? How do we just going to talk about a few things today? The first thing we need to do is we need to come. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near. God calls us to come. You would be surprised how many times now that you're going to see that in the Word. When you're reading the Word, where there's a call for you to come. Come. I want to just read a quote from Spurgeon. The cry of the Christian religion is the gentle word, come. The Jewish law harshly said, go and take heed of your steps as to the path in which you should walk. Break the commandments and you will perish. Keep them and you will live. The law was a dispensation of terror which drove men before it as with a scourge. The gospel draws with bands of love. Jesus is the good shepherd going before his sheep, bidding them to follow after him and ever leading them onward with the sweet word, come. The law repels, the gospel attracts. The law shows the distance which there is between God and man. The gospel bridges that awful chasm and brings the sinner across it. From the first moment of your spiritual life until you are ushered into glory, the language of Christ to you will be come. Come unto me. As a mother puts out her finger to a little child and woos it to walk by saying come, even so does Jesus. He will always be ahead of you, bidding you to follow him as the soldier follows the captain. He will always go before you and pave your way and clear your path, and you shall hear his voice calling you after him all through life. Come. Can you hear him calling you this morning? I can hear him calling my heart. Come. Come and talk to me. Come and talk with me. Let me share a few words that we heard in this place last week. Get before God. Do that. And if you've got no words, just stand there. If you've got nothing to say, that's okay, but get before God and he will give you words to speak. When you wake up in the morning, say, well, God, here I am. And if that's all you've got, then that's all you've got. But get before God. And as you continue to acknowledge him in your life, he will pour into your life and he will fill you. Fill you. Another word from last week. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away, my beloved, come away. You hear my voice. You hear my love for you. I weep over you. I weep over you, says the Lord. I would draw you by my mercy. I would draw you by my grace. I want you to walk in my boundless love. I want you to behold me face to face. Come to me, says the Lord. Come to me. I think he's being really clear. I'm hearing his voice clearly. Again, he said last week, lovers are wont to be alone. So God is going to deal with those things that are taking your time because he is a jealous God. He is a jealous God. He's not jealous of you, remember? You have got, there is nothing in you that he is jealous of, but he is jealous for you. Why? Because you are his. You are rightfully his. He is jealous of what is rightfully already his, and he is calling us. He's calling us, church, come. Behold me face to face. I saw a great illustration this week by Bill Johnson, and some of you might have seen this. I'm going to need some help, so Bev, you need to come. Come, Bev. come and stand here, Bev. She didn't know. I didn't tell anyone beforehand because I didn't want them to worry about it. Okay, I'm going to read the scripture first, all right? So I'm going to read Psalm 16:8, and it says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. Man, my flesh needs some rest. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Okay, let me see if I can show you this. So the scripture says, he, the Lord, is at my right hand. The Lord is always at my right hand. That's amazing, isn't it? But then it says, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So if he's at my right hand and the pleasures forevermore at his right hand, how can that be? How can I get there?
How good is that? Thank
you. I have always set the Lord before me. He's at my right hand and I'm at his right hand. How amazing is that? Behold him face to face. The Lord wants us to see him face to face. He wants intimacy. And the first step in developing this is to come. The next step is to trust. Never have an intimate relationship with someone you don't trust, because intimacy requires vulnerability. It requires access. It requires truthfulness and it requires trust. We can trust the Lord. We can trust the Lord. We need to trust that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he said he would do. I just want to read from Exodus 3. And this is where Moses, who was one, I think about Moses. Moses got to talk to God face to face like a friend, like I'd sit down and chat to Shauna. He got to sit and talk to the Lord face to face. And God sends Moses out, and Moses says, well, who am I going to say sent me? Who are you? And what does God say? He says, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am. I am. Now, I know there's lots of theological explanations for that, that God just is, that he exists. He's not dependent on anyone or anything else. He is, I am. Whenever I think of that word I am, I think of all the I ams that he is. I am your rock. I am your redeemer. I am your hope. I am love. I am your rescuer. I am your sure foundation. I am your strong tower. I am at your right hand. I am everything that you need. That's who he is. And we need to trust him. To have intimacy with him, we need to trust him. Trust him that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Trust him that he has a good plan and a good purpose. Trust him that he works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We need to take him at his word. To have an intimate relationship requires that. You will not. You keep God at a distance because you don't trust him. There will not be that intimacy that he requires. We're quick to say that we trust God, but if it's so true, then why do I worry so much? And I would challenge you. If that's true, yes, I trust God. Really? Then why are you worried about that financial problem? Why are you worried about that? Why are you worried about that? We need to know who God is and trust him. And the last thing for today, there's many more, and I'm sure God's going to speak to you about some things that are required in your life for you to have a relationship to that depth with him. But there is no getting around this, church. There is no other way. An intimate, in-depth relationship requires time. It requires time. For a generation, for a people that live in such a fast-paced society, we don't do the whole time thing very well, do we? I don't. You know, I have earphones for my phone so that I can talk on my phone while I'm doing the dishes and feeding the dog and hanging the washing up, you know. I don't know that I ever just sit down and talk on the phone or talk, you know what I mean? I'm always doing something. We're always doing something. God desires you and he's calling you and asking you to come aside because he says, come aside and be with me. Spend some time with me. God particularly challenged me in this area this year. And one thing he said to me is, you, Karen, don't even give me equal airtime, let alone make me a priority. Out of all the things, watching TV, reading a book, whatever it is, and working, whatever it is, you don't even give me equal, let alone priority. That was a challenge for me. God does want us to be mindful of him at all times in our living. You know, we need to live and we need to do things, but that isn't going to develop intimacy. He calls us to come away, put everything aside and spend time with him alone. In Mark, we read about the disciples. So in Mark chapter 6, the disciples, Jesus, you will had sent them out. He was the one who said, go and do, go and heal the sick and preach the gospel. And these are the things I want you to do. And so Jesus had sent the disciples off and they returned from their ministry tour and they're ready to report to Jesus and tell him, this is what we've done, this is what we said, this is what we saw. And the first thing that Jesus says to them is, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place. How amazing is that? I'm going to read it from Luke 6, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. And then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest for a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. Jesus was the one who sent them out. It was important, but his first response is, now let's go and be alone. Let's shut the world out and let's go and be alone. Have any of you read Dr. Chapman's book, The Love Languages? I think a lot of people have read that book, and I've been thinking about that this week because this is just a Karen thought. I think if God had love languages, and we know he does, He doesn't require sacrifice. He wants a broken and a contrite heart. That's one of his love languages. And I think the other love language that's right up there is quality time. For God, he is a quality time love language person. Let me read what quality time from that book, from Dr. Chapman's book said. Quality time is giving someone your undivided attention. A central aspect of quality time is togetherness, and it does not mean proximity. Togetherness has to do with focused attention. A husband who is watching sport on television while he talks to his wife is not giving her quality time, because she does not have his full attention. A husband and wife playing tennis together, if it is genuine quality time, will focus not on the game but on the fact that they are spending time together. I believe that the Lord is saying to us, quality time is not even when you're together in your family as a church. He wants one-on-one time with you. Come aside on your own. Look him face to face. He wants to tell you things, church. Do you hear him calling you today? I hear him calling me. And I'm challenged. God, I want to respond. Lord, I'm coming. Not when I've done the dishes. Not when I've hung the washing up. Not when I've done this job. Not when I've marked these papers. Not when I've fed the dog. Not when I've waxed the car. But God, I'm coming. You know that song we sang last week? When you call, I think I put it in the newsletter. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus. When you call, I won't delay. I delay so much. I procrastinate. I am the procrastinator of all procrastinators. But I don't want that to be so in my relationship with God. Do you hear his call today? My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That's what God thinks about you. He calls you. Song of Solomon is an awesome picture of what God thinks of us, of how he loves us. You read it. I'm just drawn to it at the moment. He loves us passionately. He desires us one-on-one. Come, this is Matthew. Come to me. Come to me, Jesus said. All of you who are weary and heavy laden. Who fits into that category today? Weary and heavy laden? Come to Jesus. Come to me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Hosea 6:3, I'm going to finish with this. And then, David, we will play that song if you can have that ready. Hosea 6:3 says, come, church. I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to say this to you. Come, let us return to the Lord. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of the dawn or the coming of early rains, of rains in early spring. He's calling us today. I don't know what he's calling you away from. Only you will know that. He's calling you to come aside, one on one, face to face. Thanks, David. I just want us to sit and listen to this song. If we can.
Welcome in. The way is open. Come on in. courts, come in my courts, come in my courts. I am calling you, I am calling you. Come in my courts, come in my courts, come in my courts. Won't you run to me? Won't you come to me?
Church, God is calling. His Spirit is calling. Come. Father, we've heard you. And Father, I pray for each one of us here, Lord, that our hearts would be quick to respond, that we would allow you by your Holy Spirit to show us what we've allowed to come before our relationship with you. God, we don't just want to know about you. God, I don't just want to hear about what you're doing through everyone else or in everyone else. I want to hear you speak to me. And God, I want to respond to you. And I pray for each of us that we would respond to you, Lord, that we would come, that we would trust you, God, and that we would spend time with you face to face. Thank you that you have me at your right hand. Praise you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.